John chapter 9, the message for tonight, about a man who had been born blind. And the Lord healed him on that day. We're going to read some verses toward the end of the chapter. John chapter 9, begin reading in verse 35. And I'll read down through verse 38. Before I read those verses, though, give a little reminder of John's purpose with a book that he has written. Well, in the back of the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 31, it says, "These are written, the things that he has set down in the book of John." John being its author, he writes his purpose at the end of the book. He said, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." His purpose has two parts to it. One part is that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the second part of his single purpose is that ye might have life through his name. And we look at this story, the man who was born blind, in John chapter 9, and are reminded of John's purpose in writing this book. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This world is full of death. Somehow it always seems farther away than it really is. But it's never very far away at all. But the Lord, here in his word, gives a promise for life. I like life better than I like death. Death is just an ugly thing. Well, it's here because of sin. And Jesus Christ was here as a remedy for sin. Of course, the only remedy for sin. And so we read from John chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. We'll read through verse 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. So we all pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your blessings on our gathering together. We pray that you would give us minds that are clear of the distractions of this world, things that our flesh would put between us and the Word of God and the truth that is before us, things that Satan would use to distract us and to keep us from learning of the King of heaven. Lord, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. Those who are oftentimes with us and not here this evening, we ask for your blessings upon them and pray that you would bring them back to be in our midst again. Lord, bless us with thy presence and teach us from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. On John chapter 9, we read that Jesus passed by. He saw a man born blind from his birth. Now his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, Jesus answered their question by saying, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And Jesus spat in the ground. And he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Spit, gathers it up in his hand, the dust and the spit together, he makes the clay, and he puts it on that man's eyes. Then he tells this man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." He went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. Now, isn't that just one of the grandest things that you've ever read or ever heard? A man born blind goes and he washes and he comes seeing. Well, now the story gets complicated. The neighbors and others who had seen him that had been blind, they saw him coming and they said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Well, they're amazed. "Isn't this, he's been here for years on this corner. He's been sitting and he's been begging here. Haven't we known this man?" Oh, all the town is abuzz. Some people said, "This is he." Others said, "It's like him." It's too incredible that he could actually have been able to see now. Oh, but he confirmed and said, "Most certainly I am he. I'm the one who sat here and I begged." Well, they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" This is what happened. It gets everybody's attention. I want you all to hear this. I want you to know, he says, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and he said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' I went and I washed and I received sight." They said, "Where is he?" I don't know. I asked him, "Where did this man Jesus go?" He says, "I don't know." Well, they take the man. I told you it gets complicated. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So there's a crowd of people, acquaintances, neighbors, people who knew of him. They take him to the Pharisees. And so now the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. So what can he do? He tells the story again, but he gives a little shorter version of it. And they ask him, the man who was blind, "How did you get your sight?" And he says, "Well, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I do see." And so they asked him. Now, sometimes people ask questions and you wonder, where in the world do they get this question from? And you gotta wonder, where in the world do the Pharisees get this question from? For they asked this man who had been blind and now he sees, "What sayest thou of him?" Now, if you think just for a moment, if you had been blind all of your life, and however old he was, we don't know exactly. We know that his parents say later that he's of age. He's got some maturity about him. He's a grown man. If you had been blind all of those years, however many years that was, and the man comes along, he puts clay in your eyes, tells you to go to a certain place to wash there, you wash and you can see now, and somebody says, "What do you think of him?" Oh, man, you haven't got anything but good to say about this guy. This is grand. What a question they ask. Well, he says, "He is a prophet." What else can he think of? What grander, who else can do this kind of thing? It's all that he knows at this point. But the story goes on because they don't believe him. Well, it is pretty incredible to hear this story. It says the Jews don't believe that he'd been blind. All of the neighbors, acquaintances, all these people, you know, this man was born blind. We've seen him. We know he's the beggar. This is blind. Their testimony wasn't enough. His own testimony that had been blind wasn't sufficient for them. But it is an incredible story. You know, what is this guy going around saying this? So they call his parents. And the story goes on. It's a little more complicated still, right? And they call to his parents and they want to know from his parents, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? And how is it that he's come to see now?" Well, here's the parents. They're just stepping into this situation too. They hadn't been in on it when the Lord went by that way. But here's what their answer is. "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He speaks for himself." Well, the story takes an even sadder turn at this point. The poor man, it's almost as though he's being treated like a criminal. Then again, they called the man that was blind and they said unto him, these Pharisees again, they want to talk to him some more. "We're not satisfied with this situation." And so they say to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Well, this formerly blind man says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I can tell you what I do know. I was blind, but now I see. So they ask him, well, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? You feel the interrogation kind of setting that's going on here? Well, the formerly blind man, a little bit irritated himself. I told you already, and you did not hear. You're not listening to me. I told you, he put, the clay in my eyes, and I went and washed, and I received my sight, but you're not listening. Will you be his disciples also, if I can convince you of this? Oh, they're mad, angry at him. They reviled him. Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. Well, this poor beggar, he had learned a lot in just a little bit. For now, he's incredulous. If he was a little irritated before, now this is just... Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is. What do you mean, he says? You don't know where he's from? And yet he had opened mine eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, the formerly blind man goes on and he says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He had perception. Whatever he had missed by being blind all the years before, he has understanding now. Well, the Pharisees have had it. They're not going to put up with him anymore. Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? They cast him out. What a day. Here's this beggar, minding his own business, just going about his begging like he'd always done before. A man named Jesus comes along, spits in the dirt next to his feet, gathers up the spittle, makes a little paste or clay out of it, puts it on his eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man gets up, makes his way to the pool of Siloam. And as he's washing the clay out of his eyes, he sees the water. He sees the water dripping off his nose. There's his hands and the pool and his eyes. The sky is blue and the clouds are white, and he sees what he's heard, the little children playing, and now they're running about, and mothers calling to their children, and men working in the marketplace, and he sees now. He can see. And in the end, he's thrown out on his ear. Out of the temple, you can't be around here any longer. The story opens with the disciples and Jesus and this blind beggar. A lesson for the disciples. Who did this sin, this man or his parents? Well, we see a crowd of neighbors and those who had known him enter into the picture. And then we have the Pharisees and this beggar. The Pharisees, his parents, and the beggar. And again, the Jews with this beggar. And finally, he's cast out, all of this crowd, all this attention, all of these things going on. And suddenly, he's thrown out, he's all by himself. The disciples aren't around. Jesus' disciples aren't around. Jesus is not around. The neighbors are not around. The Pharisees are not around. His family is not around. And he's all by himself. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now we see Jesus' purpose. Here was one that was born blind, that the works of God may be made manifest. It wasn't healing this man of his blindness. That was Jesus' point in this hour. Oh, that was the works of God manifest. This was glorious. This is magnificent. This is grand. This is worth making note of. But this isn't Jesus' purpose. His purpose here is to make himself known to one man. It was just Jesus and this one man. No neighbors, no acquaintance, no religious men, no parents, no Jews, no one but this man and Jesus. And here's our point for tonight. When everyone else is gone from your life, those hours, those quiet times, those seasons, occasions, when everyone else is gone and there are no neighbors, there's no acquaintances, no religious people, no one from the family is nearby, there's no one but it's you and yourself and you're all alone. No one but you and Jesus Christ. The question comes to mind and you cannot escape. And there is no place to hide. Dost thou believe? It's just you and him. It's not you and me. It's just you and Jesus Christ. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, the beggar had answered the Pharisees aright. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. He was right. He is a prophet. Well, Jesus Christ was a prophet. He was a teller of the truth. He could foretell future events as well. Two definitions of a prophet. He wasn't only a prophet, though. This man couldn't do what he did if God were not with him. No man, mortal, mere son of Adam, could do what Jesus Christ did on this occasion. And never before in the history of the world had it been recorded that one who had been born blind had been given his sight. This man answered a good answer. He defended the Lord Jesus well. He exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He had stood by himself. He'd been thrown out on his ear. But he wasn't finished yet. He still needed to stand before the righteous judge. He had to deal with Jesus Christ. So do you. So do I. Well, it's before every sinner to ever walk the face of this earth. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Words of a hymn came to my mind as I was preparing this. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes loud and sweet as tenderly he bids you your burdens lay at his feet. Oh, soul so sad and weary, that sweet voice speaks to thee. Then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall your answer be? Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes loud and clear. The solemn words are sounding in every listening ear. Immortal life's the question, and joy eternally. Oh, then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall the answer be? Oh, think of the King of Glory from heaven to earth come down, his life so pure and holy, his death, his cross, his crown, of his divine compassion, his sacrifice for thee. Then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall the answer be? This man's answer was, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Well, he needed a little more instruction. He had learned a lot in those hours, but he needed a little more. Lord, who is he? Well, the Lord is not capricious. He's not teasing. But the earnest inquirer, oh, he has the answer. Thou hast both seen him. Isn't that glorious? Thou hast seen him. And it is he that talketh with thee. And his answer was, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. These are written that ye might have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. This was Jesus' point. He was going to meet individually with this man. It wasn't just about giving him sight. It wasn't just about a hullabaloo or a miracle or drawing a crowd. But he was coming to meet with a man personally. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Will it be like this man, Lord? Lord, you know this word, Lord. You're higher than I am. I'm submitting to you. I believe. And he worshiped him. Have you come to that point in your life, that place in your life, where this is the only hope that you have personally for eternal life? There is no other right answer. There's none. What will you do with Jesus? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight in this hour. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ and to make him known before us in this time. Bless us, we pray, Lord, that we would each one know the joy of sins forgiven through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.